Lights on this morning too. I know I normally don't do the lights, but I feel like God wants to shed some light on some stuff this morning. So I think it's symbolic a little bit, okay? Guys, I know it's difficult to transition from like a really, really sweet time of worship like that to this, but I was telling the worship team in the side room, like for the first time in a long time before church, I actually felt like I had what God wanted me to share this morning. So I was excited about that. I feel a little relieved right there. But I do feel like God gave me some stuff, and I felt like he downloaded some of this stuff last night while I slept. I have been gone. I don't even know. Like, I kind of think I know what day it is, but like Christmas break for you guys is Christmas rush and speed at the speed of light for me, because in the last 2.5 weeks, I've wrestled I hadn't wrestled. They don't let me do that anymore. Tennessee, Alabama, Florida, and some other places. And so we've been on the road, more than Willie Nelson. And we have been wrestling. And so I got home last night and I was like, hey, I'm going to watch a little football and then I'll do a little studying. And I sat down and then I woke up this morning. And, I felt like God downloaded some stuff into me while I was sleeping, right? I told the worship team that I am not releasing like a word for Victory Fellowship and for the new year, because I believe that's our pastor's job and he does a tremendous job at that. But I do have some things that I feel like are going to be helpful for us as we move on. Now, as we get started this morning, be a little cheesy for you, but you realize I am a high school teacher, right? So like this is the stuff I have to do. So I'm going to be calling on some of you guys to like do some stuff for me this morning. I won't make you stand up. Just speak. I know you got me. Bro, I know you got me, okay? I thought it was really cool this morning. We'll get to that in a minute. But, like, we had a little light this morning. I was like, hey, why don't we all just come together and sit in these front two rows? And these guys were like, okay, cool. And they just slid on over, and then the rest of you guys didn't do that. But that's fine. So before we get going, I got some questions for you. And it's really easy to get young people to do this out loud because they want to be first and they want to be right. But adults, we live in this fear, like if we answer out loud that we'll be wrong. I don't want to be wrong because the whole thing I'm supposed to get rid of that because like the Lord hasn't given you the spirit of fear. Okay. So I ask you some questions and I want you to answer them out loud. Like if I were to say, hey, 2 + 2 is. All right, sweet. You guys are nailing it, okay? All right, now, trivia questions for you this morning, okay? Trivia questions, random trivia questions that you know the answer to, all right? I need you to give me the name of the bird species. When it becomes anxious or scared, it buries its head in the sand. Hey, you guys got this game figured out. Got the ostrich in the back, right? Great. All right. When a young person or an older person has ADD, ADHD. This substance helps to influence their hyperactivity. Okay, you guys went with the medicine. Okay, I'll take that because you're not wrong, but what's the substance that makes them more hyper?
Sugar.
Sugar, right? You guys are winning this morning. All right, history. Got to have a history question because I teach history. I'm looking at you guys. Y'all were like Adderall. I was like, whoa. All right. Looking at you, because you guys recently have went through this, okay? We have a document in the United States of America. It's called the Declaration of Independence. It declares our independence. It's not a legal document. It's not a law. It was just a letter we sent and declared to everybody that we were going to be a new nation. What day was it signed? Okay, Independence Day, July. Two people. Everybody else was like, By the way, July 4th, that celebration is not for fireworks and hot dogs. That is the day that we officially say that we declared independence, okay? All right, so we good. Everybody answered. Everybody feels solid about your answers. Every last one of them were wrong. Oh, yeah, they're all wrong. There has been no medical research that has found sugar causes any more or less hyperactivity with an ADD or an ADHD kid, okay? Now, you guys said Adderall, I guess you're right. I guess, you know, that does affect it, right? Declaration of Independence was actually drafted. Guy that wrote it declared independence on July 2nd. Congress approved it on July 4th, but it didn't get signed until August 2nd of 1776. Yeah, you say, I knew that. Well, you didn't say it. Yeah, you didn't say nothing. Nobody say, I knew that. Well, you didn't say nothing. And an ostrich does not bury its head in the sand. It wouldn't be able to breathe. We're like, yeah, it was a head in the sand. It doesn't happen that way. 10 seconds ago, you had all of these truths in your mind that now you know are falsities. But in your mind, I know that one. I got it right. I got it. I was the one. I said it. He said I was right. But it's wrong. 10 seconds ago, there were truths that you had in your mind that are all gone now. Shattered your dreams. Jamie was like, I told her a little bit about this. She's like, man, I hate you for this. She's like, that's why I don't answer out loud. That's because when people do this to me, I don't ever want to answer out loud again because I know I'm going to be wrong. Well, we were all wrong together, okay? It's because I was this guy for a little while, right? I was wrong about these things, okay? Now that truth doesn't exist, so the question is why? Why did it exist in the first place? Why did we accept this as something in the first place? Because somebody said it, and we accepted it to be true. We didn't research it, obviously. We didn't even think about it. It's like the ostrich one kind of makes sense. Like, can't breathe. Like, anyways, but I don't know. The cartoon said so. Or like my man, the water boy. Mama said, alligators are ornery because they got all them teeth and no toothbrush, right? Because mama say. Okay, or is it because we're lazy and we don't want to research at all? But there's all these truths that we have accepted in our life that are wrong because we didn't research it. We just accepted it because somebody else told us to accept it. Okay? The ostrich thing, again, that one stuck out to me because it made the most sense, right? Like if you think about it, it can't breathe. Okay, it can't live with its head. Like, it's not like an alligator and it can, like, stay underwater for 45 minutes or whatever. You know, I don't know. I don't watch National Geographic as much as I should, but, you know, Jess can help me. She teaches some of this stuff, right? I can't, but it makes sense. But you know what happened? You know why people thought this? I did a little research, okay? I had to study to show myself approved. The reason that people thought this is because an ostrich actually does dig into the sand to lay its eggs. And an ostrich actually turns its eggs as it's in the sand. And so what people saw was an ostrich going into the nest and turning its eggs over, right? And they just said, well, look, there's an ostrich, and it's got its head stuck in the sand. It's probably scared of us for coming up. This bird's 6 foot tall. Ain't afraid of you, okay? But that's probably what they thought, right? There was that perspective, right, from afar off. Dumb bird's got its head in the sand. But when you get closer, okay, and you see what's going on. When you change your perspective and you decide to get closer to something, you're actually going to see the truth. When you get closer to something, you're going to see how it really works out. When you keep it at arm's distance away, when you don't own it, you'll just take what everybody else says and you'll accept it because that's good enough for you. I don't really want to know what's going on in there. I'll take what that person says. They were apparently close enough. I'll take what they say, but I don't want to get close because when you get close, well, bad things can happen, right? That bird can turn on you, all these things. When you get close, right, you're going to find out the actual truth, and some of us are afraid of what's actually true. When you get closer and you change your physical proximity to that, you're going to see the truth. The same thing holds in the spiritual. We'll take everything that these people tell us and have preached to us for years, right? But we don't investigate it because of whatever reason. Either A, because we don't want to get close enough to really figure out the truth, or B, we're too lazy and we'll just take what Sid says, right? Or Nick or James or whoever, our coach, Phillips, who's that, we'll just take what they say because, you know, they did all the work. Why do I got to do it? They went and studied the Bible. Why do I need to get in there? The Bible is the truth. The Bible is the truth. And even if ostriches supposedly, for however long, buried their head in the sand, guys, what's the reason for it? We need to find out why this happens, right? I'm glad we don't accept the truth sometimes when it comes from other people, because if we did, Randy Phillips wouldn't be pregnant right now. That's a doctor, man. He went to school. Those people went to school, said, hey, yeah, you probably had no kids. And we accept that as truth. She didn't. Mama didn't. Okay? Thank God that we've got an actual set of truth sitting right here, and it's living. It's not dead. This thing is alive. What do you mean this thing's alive? Let me tell you how it's alive, okay? Because the ending, well, you know what? I'm going to save that, make it more powerful at the end. I'll show you. I'm going to show you how this thing is alive, okay? I'm going to show you how it changes, but it's the same, okay? I'm going to show you that today. But the Bible is our truth. It's a living set of documents. You get something different each time you read the same verse. That's how it's alive, right? You can see something different, okay? The Bible tells us that we need to study to show ourselves approved. Okay, we accept all these other things as truth. We'll work out our thumbs. and we look at people posting their best life, okay? And everybody's got their own hashtag, right? Not hating on you if you got a hashtag. I'm just saying everybody's got their own thing. This is us. And you scroll through things. Nobody's posting, hey, I just went through the worst crap day in my life, right? And so we look at this and we think, well, this is what's true. It's not. There's filters in this. Man-made filters in this. There's crap in this. And we accept it as truth. And so we say, well, because that's what's going on for them, I've got to fight to get there because I ain't really there right now. And I need to meet this expectation in life. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. You getting, I'm going to ask, how many Instagram followers you got? You older, so I'm going to ask you. You a girl and you older. How many you got? You know you got. You know you know.
No, I don't.
That's awesome. High five to you. How many you got? Nobody knows. I mean, they get quiet now. This I burned myself by asking everybody questions that they said the wrong answer to, okay? All right, Hunter, you know? Yeah, okay. Bull butter. I'm calling it. So it's not about the amount of Instagram followers that we have, but we have all these people that follow us. We have this sphere of influence on them, whether it's on social media or not. They're checking right now. You better be. I'm just kidding. All right, so we have all these things, and we look at these cell phones, and we look at all the stuff and all the filters and all the junk, and it's just not true. It's just not true. It's just not true. It's filtered. There's stuff in it, okay? And there's a scripture that I feel like God wants us to study with some truth this morning. It's not one of those that you, like, high-five your neighbor for, like, woo, that's good stuff right there. It's going to be, it might sting a little bit to some of us because it did to me. But before we get to it, I'm going to tell you how it really spoke to me. A couple of years ago, really. So I'm going to tell you a quick story. It's a funny one. Some of you have heard it, okay? So if you have, just have to bear with me. I know Coach has heard it. So a couple of years ago, I decided to take the job at Carrollton High School, right? I felt like God had pressed this upon me after a long time of prayer and travailing in the Spirit, like this was the biggest decision that could be made on the planet Earth, because it was for me. Okay, it might not have been to y'all, but it was for me, right? I felt like God said, man, this is where I want you. So I go in, I'm eating, high-fiving, and it's the gold standard, and all these things are great, you know. So it's my first official day, like, working on the job, and it's the summer before I actually started school there. And so I'm taking the wrestling team. They had already scheduled to go to wrestling camp at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, right? So that's where we're going, you know, in a UTC. And so I'm taking them by myself, right? This is just me and the guys. First day on the job with these guys. You know, I'm meeting them. I'm talking to them. I'm being a nice guy with them because I know I'm not going to be at some point in time. So I'm like high-fiving, right? And so I get there early. I'm an early guy. I like to get places early. It's just better that way. There's a lot less stress going on. So we were the first team to check into camp. And I'm like, hey, man, tell you what I'm going to do for you guys because I'm a nice guy. I'm going to take you to Publix on the nice side of town. Right, we didn't go to the ghetto Publix. We went to the nice Publix. And y'all can buy some stuff for the next 3 or 4 days. Get you some Gatorades, man. Y'all need some Gatorade. Come see me. I'm going to get you some Gatorades, right? Get some Gatorades. Don't drink Powerade. It's just different. It's not as good. Okay, get you some Gatorades, right? Get you some waters. Get you some little Debbie's to eat over. Because we ain't worried about making weight over the summer. It's just camp. And so I'm like, all right. And so I'm walking through Publix, and I'm smiling. And I'm like, hey, man, what you going to eat? Oh, I love that stuff. You know, I'm trying to make connections with my kids. And so it's time to leave. I gave them a time. So I'm standing at the door, and what'd you get? Okay, so. And then about 2 or 3 come walking out like this. And, like, radar starts going off. I snatch one and say, hey, what's going on? We're in trouble, aren't we? I was like, well, you're probably about to be, but you need to tell me what's going on. And they're pointing in this direction. About the time, and this guy looks like he's the manager of Publix, too. Like, he's got the look. Like, you see the picture on the wall of the grocery store. This guy looks like that guy. And he's, like, got his khakis walking my way, you know. And I'm like, ugh. And so he gets up on me. He's like, are you the coach of this team? And I was like, I guess so. And I knew I didn't want to say yes. I was like, no, man, I was just here to grab some groceries. But I said, yes, sir. And he goes, you need to come with me. And so we go to the back room. And so I turn the corner, and my little freshman has got his hands zip tied up. It done got real, okay? It wasn't like he's zip tied up. He's with the loss prevention specialist, right? And they're like, he's going to jail somehow at like 15 years old. They're taking this kid downtown, right? And so I'm like, what's happening? What's going on? And they're yelling at me, right? And so they take me into the back room and they show me the security, the surveillance system of this heinous crime. And now, and it was bad. My kid grabs a gallon of milk off the shelf, and y'all probably, like, you've seen these videos, okay? It wasn't to, like, get a slip and fall and, like, hey, I need $8,000 because I broke my leg. It was to be cool on social media. And they come walking down the aisle, right, him and two other guys, and he goes, whoop, pow, and then he runs and goes and slides in it. Day one of my job, guys, just FYI, this is day one. And so they're like, we're taking him down here. Because I was like, dude, it's a $3 guy. I'll pay for it. He's going to clean everything up. We will come here every single day when y'all open up before camp starts, and he will clean the entire store. You know, I'm negotiating here because I don't need to call my brand new athletic director. Yeah, dude, so I got a kid in jail right now. Thanks for the job. So I'm negotiating this thing out, right? And I was like, dude, it's $3 gallon of milk. He goes, no, it's not. He slipped and he fell. That could be up to, you know, and he starts naming these astronomical numbers. It's like, he ain't that smart, okay? And we're not going to let anyone. We got the footage or whatever. Here's how I get out of this. Here's how me and this kid don't go away in zip ties. I had to sign a piece of paper that says, I don't get to go into any Publix in the Southeast, like, ever. Ever, yeah. He had to sign it, too. Probably not a big deal for him, right? But, like, we use it from time to time. Just said, every night I put my hood up, walk just in case, like there's like a beeper, but I've been. So that happens. That goes down. That happens, right? Y'all don't know this side of me probably very well, but it didn't. I wasn't smiling. Okay. It got real intense real quick. I got everybody on the bus and I was very pointed in the things that I said. Now I didn't cuss them. But I ain't got to cuss somebody to be mean and nasty to them, just so you know. And I was telling them the things that they needed to hear at that moment in time. And you couldn't hear a thing. So here's what we did since we were the first team there. I got them back on the bus. I told them they had 2.5 minutes to get back to their room and get their tennis shoes and meet me. Now we're in Chattanooga. I've been in Chattanooga. There's a lot of hills in Chattanooga. So I took that team and I found the steepest hill I could find in downtown Chattanooga. We ran that thing for 30. I don't mean like, oh, I made them sprint up and jog back down and sprint up again until I got tired of watching them do that. Then I took them in front of the gym where everybody was checking in. These teams were getting off and I made them do all these crazy exercises. I made them do monkey rolls. If I've ever seen those in front of the gym, and some kid tried to lip back to me, right? That didn't go well for him, okay, because, like, I'm one of these guys. I'm going to get, let me tell you what you're going to do, son. You will walk home from Chattanooga. Like, it was one of those moments, right? And so I made them condition for 2 hours straight, and I don't mean like, I mean, I was on them like white on rice and a glass of milk and a paper plate in a snowstorm, okay? I was on them, okay? Of course, I did call my athletic director, let him know what was going on. He goes, Coach, you give him heck, you know what I'm saying? Give it to him. So, and I did. And I think camp started at 2:00. At 1:59, I said, now get up and go on in. And then they went through a 2.5 hour session of wrestling camp, which was not really easy for them. Okay? So there's where I am. That's my mentality. That's day one on a job, right? And I go while they're at camp because I cannot be around them right now. Right? I just don't, yeah, y'all go do your thing. And I go and I sit in my room, my little college dormitory, and I sit down and I'm like, all right, God, I feel like I might have misheard you. Maybe I'm not supposed to be here because this ain't the way things are supposed to go. And I really am. I've got my coach's Bible, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, jeez, what do I do now? Well, I really was like, what do I do now, God? And it's almost like I audibly heard the voice of God. He said, you're here for that kid. Because I had established a nice little culture for my little wrestling program over there. We were doing things right, and he said, that's why you're here. You're here for that kid. And so I open up the word to Romans chapter 13, right? And we're going to get into this, but I read this thing and God's like, this is it. So they finish the session. They got a 30-minute break until the next one. I bring them all in my room, right? And this is what I tell them, okay? Romans chapter 13, verse 1. It says, everyone must submit to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist are instituted by God. So then, the one who resists the authority is opposing God's command, and those who oppose it will bring judgment on themselves. Now this is Paul, right, writing a letter to the Romans, who are dealing with, that's the group of people that executed Jesus, right? Christianity doesn't spread because all the Romans start high-fiving. It's like, yeah, Jesus is the thing. They actually opposed it. People were crucified for following Jesus. And now he's writing a letter to the Christian followers of Jesus in the place that killed Jesus, and he's telling them, hey, man, you need to submit to the government. Whew. No, dude, he just killed. Yeah, I know. They're put there for a reason, right? And this next verse is where we got to, right here. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do good, and you will have its approval. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do good, and you will have its approval. And so after chewing every one of these kids up one side and down the other, and then we went right back, I promise you guys, I was on them, and I was on them like I would be on my son, okay? Not any different. There was love down deep in there somewhere, right? But we sat down and said, guys, God has put me in this place of authority. I know he has, right? And whether you like authority or you don't like authority, you want to know what's going to keep you out of receiving the terror? Just do the right thing. That's what the scripture says. I want y'all to know I ain't making it up. It says it right here. It's the second part of verse 3. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Question mark. Do good and you will have its approval. I'm in the Holman Christian Standard Bible in case it's not my name. That's just what I got, okay, and I like it. All right? Do right. We break it down today. That's our hashtag, okay, that's our team. It's choose right. Just do the right thing. And you won't have to worry about the wrath and the terror of the authority if you do the right thing. You won't have to run hills for 45 minutes, and you won't have, if you do the right thing. You want to stay out of it, you do the right thing. I know this is hard to hear right now because it's probably not going to be any more fun moving on. Number 4 says, for government is God's servant to you for good, but if you do wrong, be afraid because it does not carry the sword for no reason. Okay? For government is God's servant, an avenger that brings wrath upon the one that does wrong. Therefore, you must submit, not only because of wrath, but also because of your conscience. And for this reason, you pay taxes, since the authorities are God's public servants, continually attending to these tasks. Pay your obligations to everyone. Taxes to those that you owe, tolls to those that you owe tolls, respect to those that you owe respect, and honor to those that you owe honor. It doesn't say as long as they're Christians. It doesn't say as long as they exude love from every pore of their body. It says that you honor and respect and you pay those who are in authority to you. It doesn't say as long as your boss isn't a jerk. Yeah, I hope you ain't got a jerk for a boss, man. All right? But it doesn't say that. It says you honor them regardless. You want to stay out of their bad graces? Do the right thing. That's a hard truth to hear, okay? And I'm not talking about just your job. In your life, there's authority in your life, and it's there to help you out, whether you know it or not. Even if you have the worst boss in the world, right, and he's not godly, and he or she is not godly, and not showing love, and not doing those things, God will show you something through that. God may be setting you up to be that next person, and you're now knowing what not to do. Honor your parents and your mother. There's no comma as long as they're good Christian people that bring you to church. I got two natural ones that ain't the best in the world, okay? They actually opposed going to church, right? I'll just leave it at that, right? But you know what it did? I now have authority over my two kids, and guess what I don't do? I don't do what they did because it was wrong. So it doesn't matter what authority is in your life. It's there for a reason. Accept it. Do right by it, and obey those laws unless they interfere with the laws of God. God's very specific in that. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Pay his taxes. And once you come in 15 minutes early, do it. What's that got to do with God? That's you being excellent in what you're supposed to do anyway. So obey those things, and you'll stay out of the bad graces, right? And this is something new that God kind of got to me here, and then we're going to start over, okay? Number 8, I know, right? What? Start over? Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another. For the one who loves one another has fulfilled the law. the commandments. And then in my book, it kind of brackets this thing up and it puts it in bold. It says, you know, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal. You ain't got to worry about all that stuff if you just decide love your neighbor. It says, and if there's another commandment, all are summed up by this, love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, we know all the rules, but if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to break those. If I love this guy like I love me, I ain't coveting what he's got. If I love this guy like I love me, I ain't going to kill him. Okay? I don't have to. In my classroom, I've got one rule. I don't have a whole list. Don't chew gum. Don't talk in front of people. I don't have to have a list. You're 17 years old. You know right from wrong. Do the right thing. That's my rule. Do right. Choose the right thing. Do the right thing. Y'all don't like my class. One rule. Okay? Do the right thing. That's it. It ain't hard. You know right from wrong. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? So now let's start over. Okay, we're going right back to verse 1. Okay, right back to verse 1. But before we do, let's look at something a little different. Remember how I said you can learn something new every single time you read the Bible and how it's a living document? Real quick, there are several scriptures in the Bible that tells us that God has given us the authority, right? God's given you authority. Luke 10:19. The Spirit of God's given you authority that you can walk over snakes, scorpions, and not be harmed. You have been given authority from God, right? Now, let's read this scripture again, and you're the authority. Because God's given you authority. Whether you're your boss, or you're involved in your authority over two little kids, or you have a sphere of influence of friends that no one else has, God's given you authority over something right now. There are a group of people that are in your life right now that you have influence over. And so this is the authority thing, and this is how you're supposed to govern those relationships, right? We look back, okay? Verse 1, everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those exist are instituted by God. You have been instituted by God to have the authority that you have over the people that you have authority over. And I don't mean that you're their boss. I don't mean that you're their superior, but you have authority in their life because you get to speak into their life. You get to pray into their life. You get to do the things into their life that no one else can do because they don't have access. I don't have the same access to your friends that you do. Period. Same here, same here, same here. I don't have the same access. But you have the authority and you have been instituted by God. Other words for instituted. Okay, other words for instituted. Established, appointed. You've been established by God. You've been appointed by God. You've been chosen by God to have this influence. It was not an accident. You didn't just accidentally end up with these friends. You didn't just accidentally end up in this church. You didn't just accidentally end up with your wife or your husband. You didn't accident. It was chosen. Whether you realize this or not, God saw it all. And you're there for a reason. It's not an accident. You're there for a reason because God instituted it. How do you know that that's the truth? Because it says so. Because it says so. I read it for myself. Nobody told me this. I didn't get it from a self-help book. I read the self-help book, right? And it told me so. I've been established and you have been established wherever it is that you are. So you cannot take your authority, your establishment, your appointment, your chosenness lightly. You don't like it when those that are in superior parts to you take that thing lightly. My kids wouldn't respect me if I just went and said, oh, read something out of the book today. Oh, y'all go practice, do whatever you want. I don't take my position lightly in the natural. Why do we take it lightly in the spiritual? I'm going to tell you right now, there are people that are beside you and you don't know them like you know you. You don't. You don't know. Every last one of us have some little place in here that we just ain't really wanting to tell everybody else, right? So don't you think for one quick second that, well, I know Robin, because Robin, she's going to come down here, she's going to worship her brains out. She's doing great, man. Robin, you've been through some junk, haven't you? Not something you want to like broadcast to the world. But people have spheres of influence with her. And they can choose to operate in the authority and the fullness of God, or they can choose to walk away and think that it's something small. There is nothing greater than the soul of another. God bankrupt heaven for one soul. You got enough time for that. Don't pull that, I ain't got time. You got enough time for that. If God can bankrupt heaven for it, what you ought to do is put your heart and soul and your guts into your appointment. Because you have been appointed, not by me, not by man, but by God. You have been appointed and you have been chosen. Do not take it lightly. You are chosen. The word that I wrote down right here is established. And it just kind of spoke to me, right? As I'm looking up I love definitions of words because I like that there's heavier meaning in some words than others. You know, there's just heavier meaning in vocabulary. The word established, I love T-shirts or little, you know, whatevers that say EST. And then they've got the year that it was established, right? You know, America. Established 1776. That's the right answer. Anybody that's, yes. Established 1776, right? Or when somebody's got like a farm, established, boom, this year. Okay? You know, we put on our driveway, like when we're paving our driveway, you know, Whites. 2002. By the way, that's not racist. That's my last name, right? Just FYI, that's my last name. Like, can't help it. It is what it is. White apostrophe S 2002. When we paved our little driveway right there, because boom, stamp. I've been established. And I'm gonna be honest with you. Here's some inside of me that I don't like. I don't like the fact that I have to be the first generation believer on my side of the family. I don't relish in the fact that I'm the first cat that graduated high school, much less college. I don't relish in the fact that everything I'm doing is happening for the first time in my side of the family. I don't. That's something I'm wrong in this. Okay? I'm wrong in this because I want to have one of those things, you know, established. 1920. That's when my great-great-great-great-granddaddy got saved and said, man, we're going to do this right. Boom. 1920. That's cool. 17... University of Georgia, y'all. Just a breath. 1765 established. You know that? First land grant university in the whole country. Before the United States of America was the United States, you had UGA. That's awesome. Right? Go dog, right? And as cool as that is, you know what God spoke to my heart? Why it's 2002 is going to get it done. Because you're the beginning. You're the guy making the stamp. So if you are, if you're the first person to walk in the Holy Spirit in your family, establish 2005, establish 2019, establish 2020. Man, that's good because you are living in the beginning. You're setting the bar and you are setting the standard. And how you set it is going to set it for generations on down the road. The way that you react to all the tragedies that are going to happen is going to help impact those that establish it down the road and raise the bar. When Nike first started, okay, this wasn't in my notes, but when Nike first, nobody knew who they were. Nobody had a clue who they were. Nobody wanted to buy their shoes. They were cheap shoes. Until they kept going and kept going and kept going. You know the story about Michael Jordan, right? I'll tell you real quick. Nobody was wearing their shoes, right? I think the NBA was wearing Converse, right? Chuck Taylors. And so Nike said, hey, MJ, you want to wear tennis shoes? We'll pay you for it. He's like, okay, well, pay me to wear shoes. And so the NBA says, you can't wear them. You know, we'll have to fine you. However much it was a night. I don't know the number. And Nike said, tell you what, we'll pay that. Every time you wear them, they fine you. We're going to pay that fine for you. And he was like, I'm going to pay the fine. I'm good at basketball. It don't matter what shoes I wear, right? So, sure, sounds like a good deal to me, okay? And so people got in on the ground floor of Nike, people making fun of them. What is Nike anyway? Like, seriously, think about the word, okay? Like, who would want to wear something? It's not cool like Under Armour. You know, like that's a cool word, Under Armour. Like that would have been a better name, okay? Nike comes from, it's an old Greek word that means victory, by the way. Okay, so that's pretty cool when you know about it, but when you just like, Nike, people didn't know what they were. Like I would have rather had a pair of Ruse back in the day. If you remember Ruse, you know, it's like you could put your money in your pocket on your shoe, right? And I would, I had a pair of Ruse, like I ain't gonna lie. It wasn't mine, but I had a pair of Ruse. And I remember going through the lunch line. I know I'm chasing rabbits, but I remember going through the lunch line. And, like, just because you thought it was cool when you put your tray down, and then you're like. Right? I wanted Ruse more than I wanted Nikes. But what about Nike today? Man, what about Nike today? But it wasn't established in 2018. It wasn't established in 2019. It was established in the 70s, I think. But it took somebody that had vision, somebody that had foresight to say, God has given me some governing authority on some stuff, right? And I'm going to do right by it. And that's what every last one of you are governing authorities over something, and you've got to do right by it. We're going to keep reading in verse, let's see, verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. It is your job as a ruler, as someone who is chosen, as someone who has been established to be terror to bad conduct. What the word terror means. I told you I like definitions, okay? This one was funny to me, okay? A person, especially a child, who causes trouble or annoyance. That's what the definition, a person, and they put child, who causes trouble or, it's your job to be trouble to bad stuff. It's your job to be an annoyance to the things of evil. Not to accept it and be, oh, well, I'm sorry you're going through that, but to be in it. No, let's look in, let's dig deeper. Let me find a way to make sure that it's uncomfortable. Evil and bad needs to be uncomfortable in my presence, because if it's uncomfortable in my presence and I lose that to her, it's going to be uncomfortable in their presence and their presence. And guess what? Evil becomes uncomfortable. It becomes annoyed. It's nuisanced by the good that's released in us. It's your job to be a terror. And that's what it says. And how do I know? I read it. It's here. I didn't hear it from somebody else. Nobody told me this. I read this. It's our job to be a terror, a nuisance, and an annoyance to bad things. Insert whatever you want to insert there. When a guy comes to you and says, yeah, man, Todd went on last night. No, man, you shouldn't be doing that. Why? Bible says you shouldn't be drunk. Like, you drink, that's fine. But why'd you get drunk? Bible says you shouldn't get drunk. That's not cool, man. Tell me what you're going through. What made you do that? You just want to have a good time? Be an annoyance to bad things. Because if I've got a good enough relationship with Brett, and Brett tells me some things, he knows I'm not just poking at him. Oh, man. I'm not looking down my nose at him. I'm like, dude, what's up, man? Tell me about it. And then that gives light to darkness. He can tell me what he's going through. He can tell me what he's struggling with that made him do one thing as opposed to the other. Right? And I've become an annoyance, not to Brett, but to those things that are trying to attach itself to him. Those things that aren't real. Those things that aren't real. It's not real. That's that old, you find it on the internet, doesn't make it true. I'm a French model commercial. Bonjour. Okay? It doesn't make it true. And it allows me to speak to those things. Say, man, that's not true. That's not who you are. You're a child of God. Don't take your establishment lightly. I don't care if you're working as the guy that brings the groceries out to the old ladies, right, at Piggly Wiggly. You have got an establishment and an appointment to be an annoyance, to be a terror to bad things, to be a terror not to good conduct, but to bad conduct. Your job is to be a servant for good. Your job is to be a servant for good. And so as we read on, right, all these things that it tells us to do, right, and to pay and do, be the authority that accepts or forgives those debts. Because God's given you the authority to do so. Someone that feels like they've got to pay some type of penance for this great sin that they've committed before they can come get cleaned up by God. Let me get most of the dirt off and I'll let God. No, it's your job to say, no, dude, you're good. You're good. Because you've been established to be that authority to say, no, man, not because I'm telling you you're good, but because I know the guy I'm about to introduce you to, he's already said you're good. You ain't got to clean yourself up. Dude, I ain't even really that clean. Okay? I just know who's going to clean me up every single day. Be a terror to bad conduct and encourage the good conduct. And again, at the end, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you're the person that's in authority and you exude love and not fear, that's liberating. More history. That guy named Machiavelli, not the Tupac version, right? But the guy named Machiavelli, long time ago in the Renaissance, he wrote this book about modern politics and ruling and things of that nature. And he said, there's two ways to rule, basically. You can rule out of fear or you can rule out of love, and the two can't really exist. And you got to pick which one is better to rule by. And most people pick that fear is the way to rule, because if they're afraid of you, then they'll do what you tell them to do. Nay, I say, that's wrong. How do I know that that's wrong? How do I know Machiavelli was wrong? His book ain't changed, right? I don't read anything new in that cat's book. This is where I learn things. This is what's true. Okay, this is what's true. And it says that I should exude love for everyone within my sphere the same way that I love myself. You don't want bad things for yourself. As depressed as you get, you really don't want bad things for yourself. You want good things for yourself. And that's okay. That's why the Bible says love people like you love you. Make sure you're loving you, right? And then go love somebody else. That's what we're called to do. It's what we're called to do. And that truth, guys, the truth sometimes it continues to evolve and you understand more and more about it as time goes by. I don't know everything there is to know about this thing, but I'm going to keep learning. It's kind of like this. How many senses do we have? I just held that up and y'all went with me. I said five. We've always said that, right? Touch. There's over 21 that they've discovered now. Over 21 that they've discovered now. Those other five are still true. You still have the sense to, but guess what? We also have a sense of hunger. Well, it's different. Well, you can't touch hunger. You can't see it. So we have a different sense, right? That's another sense that we have. We have a sense to go to the bathroom. Can't touch it. We have a sense to do that. Those are senses that we've continued to discover since we discovered the first five a couple hundred years ago, right? So you're going to continue to discover more and more things about God because we couldn't possibly fathom everything. So don't ever think that you've arrived and I've got it and I've get. Nah, there's more. And it'll read different the next time that you get it. This read different to me last night and this morning than it did the first time when I read it really hard a couple of years ago with my team. Because I read it as, I'm the authority, you're going to do good. You're going to do right, and we're going to choose right. And now I'm reading it and I'm like, wait a minute, man. The weight of this is on me. It ain't on y'all. It's on me to be the proper authority, to be a terror to bad things, to be a terror to darkness, and be a terror to evil. And right before I got finished here, I guess this would probably be the right time to bring the worship team up, right? That way I can talk for another hour, and then we can actually have... I'm kidding. I don't do that. I won't do that today, I don't think. Yeah, you can just go guitar and knock that thing out. There we go. Bring everybody. Yeah, I didn't know everybody was coming. I looked like I didn't want to show up. I was like, I guess I'll go. Okay. As I'm back there, this is what God hit me with. And again, this is not the word for Victory Fellowship, 2020. But this may be the word for Nick White. And there might be some truth, right? Some actual real truth in here for you. This is what I wrote down. 2020, have perfect vision. In 2020, have perfect vision to see what is really truth. 2020, have perfect vision to, my prayer is that we discover or rediscover real truth. That we see with proper eyes and perspectives. Guys, to discover real truth, to uncover, to dig deep, to research, to investigate what's really true. Not what I've accepted to be true, but what's really true. What's really true about you. Not what people say about you and you've accepted. Oh, I'm a funny guy, so I'm going to have to make jokes. No, what's really true about you. What's really true about the world and what's really true about the Word of God. Not what you've just heard and not what you've accepted, right? Whether it be from me or whoever, but what's really true. What is it? Because that's what's going to stand. The truth will stand when nothing else will. And to have the right perspectives. Because it was true that that ostrich had its head in the sand, right? What wasn't true is what caused it and what was really going on. It all came from perspective. Right? If you've ever seen Dead Poets Society, if you haven't, I'll kind of give you the rundown. I do this with my class, right? I make them all look around the room. Okay, look around the room and you look at the lights and you look at all that. Look at the posters on the wall, right? And then I make them stand up on top of their desks. And then I make them look at the stuff again. And it looks different. It's the same stuff. But it looks different because I'm looking at it from a different perspective. Right? And so I tell them we got to see things from different perspectives. From a 14-year-old black female or an 18-year-old white male or whatever. We've got to see things from different perspectives. My prayer for me is that I see things from His perspective in 2020. That my vision is His vision and not my vision in 2020. That I have 2020, by the way, that's perfect vision, right? That I have perfect vision that's not from me, but from Him this year, that I see who I really am and who God has really called me to be. The call that God has given you, and I see it through His lenses and not through my own. That I don't have to necessarily spend that full day in prayer to be like, God, why'd you put me in this place? That I can see immediately, God put me here for this young man. He put me here for this young man. 3 days ago, that same young man didn't show up to practice. Wasn't there. Okay? So I have a choice. I go home. You know, I've been there all day anyway. I got there a couple hours early to prep for practice. Had practice. Dealt with all the drama after practice. Talked to mamas and daddies. I want to go see my family. It's Christmas break. I'm not bragging on myself. This is one of the few times I got it. Okay? I said, no. I need to go find him. Because I know where he lives. Because I have to pick him up. And I have to take him home. Right? So I know where he lives. And so I go there. And I knock on the door. Knock on the door. Little brother. He has to watch little brothers and sisters all the time. Right? So they come out. They know who I am. Right? And the younger brother comes out. And says, hey man, where's your brother at? He's up the road at my grandma's house, what he tells me. So, okay, where's your grandma live? So we're talking back and forth, and something just didn't feel like he was at grandma's house. Okay? So I said, I'm going in to open the door to that house, if you want to call it a house, right? Junk everywhere. Grown men laying on couches. Don't even get up when I walk in. Empty liquor bottles on the floor. Okay? Trash everywhere. And I walk in. There he is sitting there. I said, man, what are you doing? Shook his head. And I'm not going to get into all the private conversation that we had. Okay? But I felt like that was me being a terror to bad things. And it may look different for you. The house that you walk into might not be a house at all. It might be a spiritual house, right? That's got junk in some places that you walk into this person's life through their junk. Say, hey man, you're coming with me. I know it ain't right, but you're coming with me. There's people, I promise you, that are sitting in here this morning, because I've been one of them, that I need somebody to walk up to me and say, let me kick this bottle out of the way, man. I got you. Okay, I'm gonna be the authority right now that's going to get you to a good place, and I'm going to kick all that bad junk out of the way. So my prayer, I guess the altar call for me this morning, right, is God, let me see vision from you. Let me be who you've called me to be and help me walk into whoever's house I need to walk into, right? And be a terror to something bad. Be a terror to something bad in 2020. Have vision. Now stand to your feet, women, please. I'm going to pray for you. If you feel like you need to come, you come. But it all boils down to going right back to this. What you say, I'll say. What you do, I'll do, God. Whatever it takes, I just want to be with you. Let's pray. God, I just come to you, Father. I thank you so much for just putting this in me this morning, God. I thank you so much for the anointing, Father God, that you've given me, for establishing me, Father God, to be an authority against bad things, to be a terror against bad things, God. And so this morning, I'll loose that on every single person that's standing in this house this morning, that you have been called and you have been chosen, you have been instituted and established to be a terror to the things of evil. You have been instituted and chosen to be somebody that walks through the junk to say, hey man, I got you. Let's talk. And it's not by accident. It's not something that you floated into. God saw this before you were even here. God saw your life unfold and He knows the rest of it right now. He is the author and He is the finisher, not of just our faith, but the whole shooting match. He's the Alpha and He is the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And if there's anybody that we need to grow in closer to, it's Him. So Lord, we just come to you, Father God, as this year ends physically, Father God, and we start a new one, God. My prayer for me is that I see things through your perspective, Father. That I go where you want me to go. I say what you want me to say, Father God, and you help me see your vision. For me and those around me, God. That I've been given authority and I will not take it lightly. No matter how big or how small that the world says that it is, it's what you gave me, Father, and I won't take it lightly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need to come, come. Whatever you need to do.
There you go, I go. what you pray, I pray. For what you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. And what you pray, I pray. And what you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. And what you pray, I pray. And what you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. And what you pray, I pray. Whatever comes my way, through every situation, I will follow you. To the unknown, to the unsafe, give me a heart of no compromise. Help me to be more like you. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. And what you pray, I pray. And what you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. And what you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. And what you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. And what you pray, I pray. Though the world sees and soon forgets, we will not forget who you are and what you've done for us. What you've done for us. Though the world sees and soon forgets, we will not forget who you are and what you've done for us. What you've done for us. Though the world sees and soon forgets, we will not forget who you are and what you've done for us. What you've done for us. Though the world sees and soon forgets, we will not forget what you've done. Oh,
Guys, I've enjoyed our time in the house this morning. We're going to, you know, kind of keep this mindset as folks are still getting ministered to this morning. But I don't want you to think that you got to wait to do stuff on a certain day. Okay, celebrating New Year's is cool. We've made it another year, and it's awesome, and high five, and hang out with your friends, and all that stuff. God doesn't say, oh, well, I'm going to do a work in on you, but I got to wait a couple more days, and then we'll start over. Okay, don't respect that. That's just something that we've kind of created and accepted as a wrong truth. You want to decide to work out, you ain't got to wait till January 1st. You start this afternoon, okay? All right? If you want to use that as a launching point, that's fine too. So as we get into that this year, guys, I just pray that we are all loosed with real truth, not accepted ones, right? And go enjoy the rest of your holiday break and all that stuff. But remember, it's all about being that influence that we've been called to be. So love you guys. We're officially dismissed. If you need something, let us know. Let's just be respectful of any ministry that's taking place. We'll see you next time.